Welcome back, friends. You are listening to The Struggle Well Project, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so you don't need to run away from home. We believe perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. I'm happy to be with you today. I have some shifts going on in my own life. It looks like things are lining up for me to need to go back to nursing full time. And so that is going to make some changes happen around this podcast. I don't plan to stop it. It will just need to look a little different. I've shed my tears about it and I have eaten some cheese about it. And I am ready to apply for all the nursing jobs in the world and prayerfully consider what the show will look like going forward. I am so interested in hearing from you about the parts that you definitely need to keep staying. I know you'll say problem solved, and that's great. And Rebecca is on board with that. I just think that change will be that after February, we will not be having interviews because those take a lot of time and I'm not going to have as much time. But there will still be interviews in February. So if you don't want to be my friend anymore, that's fine. But I suggest you stop listening in March because that's when everything's going to change. Okay. So let's at least be friends through February. Anyway, I really would love to hear from you, your very favorite parts, what you'd like to hear more of. You can email me at hello@strugglewellproject.com. I will read them all and I will reply to you as much as humanly possible. Okay, let's get on with today's show. Today I'm talking to my friend Sarah Bragg. You are going to love her. The focus this month is on a sanctuary, our home, and making our home a place we can go and recharge and really love it. And so we are going to be talking about when she had to leave a home that she loved and made exactly how she wanted it to live in a rental house. So we talk about how did she help that be a home that she loved, even as she had to leave the home that she really wanted to be in. She also talks about what it's like to live as the wife of an entrepreneur. And she talks about how she kind of made it through the loss of a best friend who she had had for most of her life. So even though the topic is sanctuary, we cover lots and lots of things. You're going to love this talk. Let's get started. Hey, Sarah, how are you today?
Hi, friend. I like seeing your face.
I know. And I just took a shower, so it's such a fresh face.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I have high standards that you have to meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got to look just so.
Right.
Will you let everybody know who you are?
I am Sarah Bragg, and I am a girl that lives in Georgia, standing in front of you holding a sign. I don't know. I feel like I need to like quote like Love Actually, because that's just what's on my brain. No, I am a girl living in Georgia, and I'm married to Scott. We've been married for 13 years, and I've got two girls. Rory is 8 and Sinclair is 10. And we have a dog named Murray, which we used to have that in common. Because didn't you have a Murray?
I had a Murray, then he bit my son's face.
I know. I remember being devastated about that.
Murray went to a new place.
Right. A happy place.
And I don't know where he is. And I don't want to know because I would feel sad.
Yes. I'm sure he's in a very happy place where he can bite other things that don't cause problems.
Yeah. No blood involved.
Right. Right.
So yes. Is Rory because of that show?
The Gilmore Girls?
That.
Yes, partly. So I like family names. And so Sinclair is named after my dad. It's his middle name, his grandmother's maiden name. And of course, my husband, like when we were naming her, he did not like the name Sinclair. And he's like, I mean, it has the word sin in it. And I was like, well, she'll know she's a sinner. It's fine. It's fine.
Some people need to know they have a little sin in them. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so Rory, he had a thing, like he liked the E sound on the end. So during the time that I was pregnant, like we were watching Gilmore Girls, then we realized his uncle's name was Rory Scott. So then I got to use the, like, so then I can not totally be like, oh yeah, we just named her after Gilmore Girls.
Well, it's a great name. I love
but
it.
But I love that name. Yeah, I love it. It's very fun. So good. And so, yeah. So then I'm a podcaster. You've been on my show, Surviving Sarah, a long time ago. Way back in the day ago.
Very vintage.
Yes, you are very vintage. And how so that's been you? On for a long time. You're like, listen, you're supposed to make me feel good.
No. You're not supposed to very make me vintage. Feel... You are elderly. It's fine.
Right. It's fine. It's fine. Vintage is a good thing, right? We're going to reframe this.
It costs more money, I know.
Well, that's true. See, you are a prized possession at that point.
You know it.
A treasure.
Okay, so you are an entrepreneur's wife, and I think yes. that would make me nervous. Like, I'm an entrepreneur, but my husband is who actually feeds us.
Right, right. Well, and that's the even the trickier part is that we are both entrepreneurs. So then you go, oh, but I don't think, you know, I wasn't an entrepreneur when we first got married. And so within our first year, I mean, he had a steady job. He quit his steady job within our first year of marriage. Whoa. So, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My husband made us move to rural China in our first year. So I get it. I'm like, what in the world?
Well, and I remember Googling in that first year of marriage, support for entrepreneurs' wives, because I was like, I don't know. But like, it didn't exist. I'm sure maybe it exists now, or maybe I should start that support group. Yeah. But there was just, it was just like, how do I handle all these ideas? Like, every time I turned around, he had a new idea and we were on to something different. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Am I supposed to like support this? Do I support everything? Or do I like to say what I really think? Like, so it's been an interesting, I've learned a lot, I guess I should say, in the last 13 years of how to be an entrepreneur's wife.
Well, talk about that, because I think even though my husband's not an entrepreneur, he'll be like, oh my gosh, we need to buy land, or I think we should buy a boat. Like, I've gone so far as to go sailboat shopping with him. We live in Dallas. What in the world?
Okay, well, you know that my husband wants us to move onto a sailboat and like sail around the world.
Okay, yeah. Yes. This is where, and my husband's thing is, well, you can podcast from anywhere.
Oh, he's told me that too. Okay. And I'm like, but you realize we will still have our children on this boat.
Oh, I know. And my big dog at the time.
Right. Right. I'm like, it's not going to happen. Like, I will be pushing people off the boat into the wild blue ocean.
I know, trying to make sure that dogs and children don't drown while I podcast and we're all in the same little room. I do not think so.
Right. So yeah, I've come a long way. So this is the case in point. So this is what happens with us. This is what I've learned. I have learned to have selective hearing. And so what I do, because he genuinely has a million ideas, genuinely has a million ideas. And so I have learned that I don't truly listen. And this might sound like a bad wife, but this is how you survive being an entrepreneur's wife. Mm-hmm. I don't truly listen until I've heard the same thing multiple times. So if like multiple times it comes back up and he's still talking about it, like, let's say over the course of weeks or months. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I need to pay attention to that. Let me listen to that now. Like, and I feel like most of the time he doesn't know I'm not listening, but every now and then he can catch a glimpse that like whatever happens on my face, sometimes I don't do it well. And he's like, are you listening to me? I'm like, oh yeah. Wait, can you just say that line one more time? And I'm like, figure that out. But I think it's helped me to not, because I think at first I felt like I had to be fully engaged, like my heart and my mind. And I am, like, I strategize and I go into like, okay, well, what will this look like? And how are we going to make this happen kind of mode? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I realize that he just needs to like verbally process these ideas out and get them out of his brain and out somewhere. And he just needs me to be a sounding board.
But does it freak you out? Like, how do you not be scared?
So it's so funny. Like, let's use the sailboat example. So when he first started talking about the sailboat, that was like 2 years ago. And it was in the middle of like a hard year. He had like launched a new business and it failed. So he was coming out of that. We were both coming out of that.
Was it the camera thing?
It was the camera. Yes. Okay. Yes. And so that was hard because it was a very public kind of thing. And so
I saw the website. It looked amazing.
I know. It looked amazing. We just didn't have the money. Like, we needed like $2 million of funding. And so
wish I could have helped you with that.
I know your $2 could have helped. And so that, and then parenting, I have a hard kid that that just knows how to push all the buttons and all the things. And,
yes, ma'am.
And yes, we understand that together. And so that was a rough season of parenting. And then my best friend of 20 years stopped being my friend. So like I had all these things happen, and I remember going to a counselor, and I'd never been to a counselor before. And I was sitting there and I was talking about all these things. And then I was like, and my husband, he wants to like, you know, sell everything and move on a sailboat and sell around the world. He says like a podcast from anywhere. Like, I'm doing this whole thing. And I just like move on. And she's like, how are you like not like freaked out by that? And I said, well, because he's just started talking about it. Like, I'm not worried about it because maybe in 6 months he'll probably be on to something else. Yeah. And so it helps me to remember that, like, so that's how I don't freak out. And so then if 6 months later, he's still talking about the sailboat and I'm like, okay, I'll entertain it. Like, you know, and here we are 2 years later. And literally like last month, I was like, I think I could totally move on a sailboat. It took him 2 years of like wearing me down, but I'm still like, Because there's something about like, ooh, that does sound exciting. Like, this is our one life. Like, what kind of adventure are we? He's totally like, but it took two yes. years to get me to this point of like, okay, maybe so. Now, do I think that we're going to actually move on to a sailboat? Probably not. I have a feeling we're going to remain in a house with walls on land until our people graduate high school.
Yeah.
I kind of have a feeling. So I feel like it helps me. I'm selective on my hearing, and then I don't just get emotionally invested. I think that's what it takes. Like, I recognize who he is and that he needs to verbally process. And so I don't allow myself to be emotionally invested in his idea until a certain point. And so that's been helpful. And, you know, another thing is, I think this is attention, and you probably being an entrepreneur feel this, is that I don't ever want to be a reason why something didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I want to be a cheerleader. Now, I also want to be practical and wise. And if I have gut feelings about something, I do speak up. But I also want to give him, like, when he went through the launching of the camera and it failed. And I remember he said, he's like, I'm so appreciative of how you allowed me to try. Like, yeah. you didn't stand in the way of letting me try. Yeah. And so I always remember that. Like, what is the worst thing that could happen? The worst thing that could have happened was that we had to move in with like his parents and we had to leave where we are. Or, you know, it wasn't like he was going to get cancer from trying this new thing. Right.
Yeah.
And so having that kind of mindset of like, okay, well, what's the worst thing that could happen if he tries this thing? But if the worst thing is that I didn't support him, and then what if it did succeed? And there's this like rift between us because I was kind of hard about it and not open about it. And so I really just always want to remain a posture of like, positivity and like cheerleader and like while being wise and like pushing, you know, sometimes I'll push at things, play that devil's advocate, and I can frustrate him at times, but I know that I am that supporter is ultimately what I want to be. I want to be a supporter of his dreams, even if it means they fail at times.
That's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the, I mean, and all that to say, it's not easy. Like mm-hmm. that year that I was so proud of him that he launched that. And it failed, but I was so proud that he walked through the whole process of getting something out the door into public. And that was what I was so proud about. And it failed. And that was really hard. It was a hard year of walking through that hurt. But I think our marriage is better for it because we walked through that together. And there was that his most vulnerable self. Mm-hmm. And I was still there.
And he knows you're on his side. And right. yeah. That's good.
Exactly.
Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data, and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as the 100 most popular, with Robinhood, so you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of the Struggle Well Project a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at struggle.robinhood.com. That's struggle.robinhood.com.
Okay, so I just have to circle back real quick. You just said sure. you had a friend, 20 years, not your friend anymore. Yeah. Is that something you can talk about or not?
I probably could. I've talked about it in different ways on my show. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me how that, first of all, tell me everything she did wrong and her name. And I'm just kidding. tell me about how that, I mean, what do you even do? Because I had that happen a couple years ago and it seems silly. Like, we're grownups. We should be able to just kind of like reason our way into. Sometimes the things just don't work out. But then when it's you, I literally had to talk to my counselor about this so much with this friend. And I felt like it was ridiculous that it bothered me so much. And yet
it did.
It did.
Yeah. Well, you know, even the counselor would look at me and she would say, she doesn't want to be your friend and you need to be okay with that.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm not okay with that. People like me. Yeah. People are going to be my friend. Or, you know, my husband would be like, Sarah, you need to leave it alone. Like, you need to drop it.
Was she clear about she didn't want to be your friend and you just kept pushing for it or what?
No, she was not clear about it. it was one of those where she just stopped talking to me. And I would push and say, like, hey, is everything okay? And I wouldn't get her, I would get a response like, oh, just really busy, you know. And you know in your gut, like, there's something not right. Like, I had to have done something that I'm unaware of. Mm-hmm. And so finally, I pushed through and said, hey, like, if I have done something, like, there's got to be something going on. And if I have done something, please know that it is not intentional. There is nothing that I am trying to do that would bring such pain or such hurt or such, you know, disconnect.
Did she ever tell you what the problem was?
Yes. We had a gathering of sorts and we talked and it was hard, but she admitted, she's like, you know, everything that I thought was not true.
Okay.
And so for me, that was what I needed to hear because, you know, you don't want to, you know, I don't know, be the worst version of yourself to someone is what she was taking it. But thankfully, that wasn't the true things. And so for me, I was able to just kind of reconcile that and start over. I think we were able to start again.
Oh, so you're friends again?
No, because she, see, this is where I'm like,
like, I want a happy ending.
No, there's no happy ending.
That's so hard. Was there like some truth in the things that she said that you can go forward being a better friend, do you think?
I think it's more, you know, we've talked even about mentioning like Enneagram stuff before, you and I together in conversations. And
what are you?
I'm a three. Okay. And so, and she, I don't know for a fact, but I think she might be a one. And so there's some perfectionism and, you know, threes are known for like tasks. We're making things happen. We're doing this thing, but yet we're also relational people. And so there were things where she felt like she was being put on a task list.
Okay.
And she, it was just like a miscommunication.
Where like, for this you, is, you're like, yeah, you're on a task list because you matter.
So, right. And so knowing that, it has helped me to, I think one positive thing was like, okay, I guess I can do that. And maybe it's coming, like my genuine, like my intentions were so good, right? And, but sometimes maybe that's not can be taken as cold or hard, or I'm not fully like helping you.
That is so funny because I don't see that from you at all in any interactions.
Yes.
Like a hardness or coldness.
Yes.
Not at all.
Well, that's good to know. That's what, like, you know, so I think that another thing that I learned through all of that was really trying to believe the best. I also learned how to say, I learned that, you know, I read this in Brené Brown, might have been Rising Strong years ago, was the story I'm telling myself is. And then I feel so I was able.
My husband and I start our fights like that.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Or start our resolution to fights like that. Yeah.
Yes. And so that was really helpful for me to apply that and to go, this is the story I'm telling myself. I don't know if it's true or not, but this is what I'm telling myself. Is that what is happening? And so I feel like there was a lot that I learned through that of, because I don't like conflict. I'm a very like harmonizing kind of person and like peaceful person. That's why parenting is so hard, because I feel like there's conflict everywhere. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with all your fighting and you're yelling at me and I don't know what's going on.
I'm just trying to keep you alive.
Right. I'm just trying to feed you. I don't know. And so I feel like I did learn a lot about conflict. And then sometimes when it just doesn't work out and sometimes friendships fade. And that was hard though, because it was such a long-standing friendship and a friend that I deeply loved.
So where are you at with that now? Like when things don't resolve, you miss that kind of closeness. How do you not tell yourself negative stories? Because you don't want to get bitter towards them. And you also don't want to think, I am such a loser that I can't even.
Yes.
You know, whatever.
That's where. And I was just telling my closest friends this week, we had a little get together for Christmas stuff. And I was telling them, look, what happened in that has really created a lot of insecurities in other friendships. Cause then you start going, gosh, I felt like I was just being me. And I felt like I was not trying to be these things, but it was taken that way. So then you start looking at every friendship and reading too much into it and going, oh, well, are they mad at me? Did I not do enough? Is that, you know, you start questioning. And so I've really had to work at, okay, you are being your most authentic self and you are being the best version of you that you can be, and you cannot control what they think. And so it has been a lot of learning. It has, because it can breed a lot of insecurity in me, but it's taken it like, okay, but this is what is true. This is what is true for me. And I'm being the best version of that I can't worry about how they're taking it necessarily without, you know, that's outside of my control, you know?
Gosh, it's so complicated. I think what I love about my little neighborhood friends that we have is we're all so wildly different that I've really gotten a little bit better at flexing those muscles of, okay, this is what she said. But I think from her history, from her age, from her personality type, like that is not what she meant, even though that's how yes. I'm taking it. And all of a sudden you can go, her heart is for me. Like homegirl yes. is a big fan of yes. Emily and she loves me, you know. And so then my friend Elisa Keaton always talks about just having gracious assumptions. And that's yes, just
believing
so
the best.
Helpful. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and I think one of the things that I've been thinking on a lot really in the last several months is that the little phrase, it could have been me. It could have been me. And that helps me to get like, maybe they're approaching it this way or they're coming from it because of this. And it's just like turning the tables a little bit and putting yourself in their shoes and going, okay, like they might be approaching this way. If I had this thing happen to me in my past, I'd probably think the same thing or question the same thing or worry about the same thing rather than being my typical narcissistic self of it's all about me. Right.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
Yep.
Yep. Well, thanks for talking about that. I know that's not easy or fun.
Right. Well, it's, you know, friendships are hard. And like you said, like all of a sudden you feel like you're in middle school and like, haven't we passed middle school? But friendships are just hard.
They really can be, for sure. Okay. So I want to talk about home stuff. We're focusing this month on like your sanctuary at home where you're kind of your coziest or your sometimes the worst version of yourself, your yelliest.
Yep.
You have a history of like part of your story is that you had to move out because you rent your house and you had to move out because the people were selling and you couldn't buy. And so this place that you love and you've made it your home, you all of a sudden had to leave. So will you talk to us about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it even goes a step further back than that. When we used to live in Tennessee before we moved to Georgia and we built our dream house.
Oh.
And yes, like we took a 100-year-old farmhouse and like fully gutted it, like renovated, took out every wall, every ceiling, everything.
I already hate this story.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My gosh.
So Sinclair had just turned 2 and I was pregnant with Rory while we were renovating. And so we get into the house. I mean, Rory's only like 7 months old when we move into the house. And like, I mean, it truly is like dream house. Like I pictured our kids growing up there forever, loved it. And it wasn't 6 months into living there that my husband was like, we need to move back to Atlanta.
No.
And I was like, no, this is my home. I am not leaving this home that I finally have.
Why did he move?
Well, being an entrepreneur, so full circle back to that, he had started a business with another guy that lived in Atlanta and it was growing mostly in Atlanta. And that was okay, so we need to be back in Atlanta. He was traveling every week to Atlanta and doing all that. And so we're like, okay. And I mean, it was not in a great time of market. So I did get to enjoy living in that house for like a year and a half because it took so long to sell the house. But it was hard, like leaving like this home that like we had built and loved. And it was huge. It was this, you know, 5,000 square foot farmhouse. It was
wow.
ginormous. And so when we moved to Atlanta, we knew we were going to downsize. And we knew we were going to rent. We thought, let's get to where we're going and let's just take a beat and yeah. like breathe for a minute. And so we're going to rent. And so we ended up renting this tiny little like 1500 square foot home. It's completely different. Like that was farmhouse. This is like little brick ranch. And we were like, we'll just rent a year. That's all it'll be. It'll just be a year. It'll be temporary. And then we'll buy something. Well, we ended up living there for 5 years.
Okay.
Like, never, because again, back to entrepreneurialism, there was efforts tried in different businesses that kept us from buying along the way. And so what we thought was going to be temporary turned out to be our like permanent home for 5 years.
How are you contentment wise in that season?
You know, it was interesting. I'm not a very content person by nature. I'm always looking for what's next.
Yeah.
Always.
As a 3, you love accomplishing
yes.
and...
Yes. Love change. All that kind of
and
thing.
And perception, right? Like how people,
yes,
how you appear.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Totally. And when we moved into this house, I just really kept feeling like the word dwell and remain kept coming up. And I was like, I just feel like I'm supposed to remain and I want to be content where I am. And it's hard to be content when you think something is temporary, right? Like you're like, oh, it's going to change in a year. So what am I like? I'm going to always just, I'm never going to like settle down and remain where I am. And so leaving that dream house, to me, that was supposed to be permanent. And it ended up being very temporary. It ended up being like 2 years. And so when we moved into this house, I said, I want to treat this house like it's permanent. Even though I know we're going to move in a year, I want to treat it like I'm remaining, because I feel like if I do that, I will find contentment where I am rather than constantly looking for what's next. And that truly did. That is really what happened, and grew to love that little house. And even when we thought we were going to try to move, and there were things that we also like hated about that house, you know, I mean, like our children were just like stampede through the hallways, and you're just like, literally, get out of my face. And I'm like, this is why we can't live on a sailboat, because I couldn't live in 1500 square feet ranch home. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say a special thank you to longtime sponsor of the show, PrepDish. So what PrepDish does is they give you weekly menus via email. They have gluten-free and paleo plans. In the menu is the grocery list organized by section of the grocery store. You can print it out and head right to the store. Then when you get home, spend 2 to 3 hours prepping a week's worth of meals using their easy-to-follow instructions. Included is several dinners, a snack, a breakfast option, and a healthy, easy salad. And then each evening, all you have to do is heat up the meal and eat it. You get to serve your family a healthy, whole food meal, and your kitchen is not a mess, and you are not yelling at your children. And it's amazing. So to get a 3-week trial, just go to prepdish.com/SWP and try PrepDish for yourself. I personally love it, and I use it every week. I think you'll love it too. So again, that's prepdish.com/SWP. Did you know that FDA does not make brands disclose a list of ingredients in their feminine care products? Because of that, most of them don't. Most major brands use a mix of synthetic ingredients, but also a lot of harsh chemicals. But Lola is different. Their products are 100% organic. Their products have no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dyes. And they make your month a little bit easier by having a subscription that is completely customizable, so you get to choose the products, the absorbency, the number of boxes, and the frequency of delivery. I personally am always forgetting to buy my supplies for that time of the month. But Lola is fixing that for me, and I so appreciate it. I really love how convenient Lola is. So for 40% off of all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter SWP when you subscribe. Again, go to mylola.com and enter code SWP, and you'll get 40% off of your subscription. Okay, so when you want to decorate or things like that, how do you, if you want to perceive it as permanent, yet you really can't do anything or some of the things that you would want to change?
So we first asked permission to repaint the house. And I get it. That's a lot of work. And so some people may like, I don't want to do that. My husband is a great painter of walls. I'm not. Again, I'm a 3. I'm like, let's move on. Like, is it good enough to appear that it's good?
Yes.
And he's more like very precise. So that meant he had to paint the whole house, which I was fine with. Oh, I didn't have to do that work.
Yeah. Right.
But we got permission. We're like, if we choose like neutral colors, when we moved in, it was like canary yellow and pink everywhere.
Wow.
Like master bedroom was pink. I was like, I don't think
I can.
And so they gave us permission. So I feel like that's a step, like ask permission. Like if you are in a temporary place, like you don't own this place and you don't have, you know, then ask what you can do. Like they didn't pay for it. We paid for the paint. We obviously did the labor, but we repainted the whole house white. And then we hung light fixtures. That was another thing that we did, because they had these old ceiling fans that were just horrendous.
Okay.
And probably from like the 80s, still okay. Left up. And we hung light fixtures because when we left, we could hang those old ceiling fans right back up like nothing ever changed. And so I was able to bring my own personality into the house, not only with paint, but then with light fixtures.
Okay.
And that, I'm telling you, light fixtures will do numbers on a home. So I think those are some things, you know, I've seen people use like repositional wallpaper, you know, that you can take off, like removable wallpaper. So if you can't paint, but you can put something like that up and take it down easily, all those things are ways to like kind of just make it your own, even though it's temporary. It might cost you a weekend of work to do it, but then you have it done for, even if it's only a year that you're there.
Yeah.
can enjoy. I think it helps you to enjoy where you are if you just kind of make it a little bit of your own.
Yeah, that's great. I love that idea. I didn't know you could change wallpaper. I didn't know they had that kind.
I know. I think even Target carries it.
Well, for heaven's sakes.
I mean, what don't they carry?
Exactly. So then when you had to move, are you still in Georgia? I can't remember.
I am. We literally moved 2 miles away. Like, we're still in our same school.
Okay.
Yes. But we had to leave that little house, and it was heartbreaking. Like, they came to us and they said, well, if you'd like to buy the house, you can buy it now and for this price. And it was like, whoa, 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 slow down.
Yeah.
And so, and it just was, you know, more than what we wanted to pay for it. And faster than we would want to do that, even if we did want to buy it.
Yeah.
And so that meant we had to leave. And that was hard.
Did you even expect it to be hard when you didn't even necessarily want to be there in the first
right.
place?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Right. And it's so funny how you just, I don't know, I grew to love that area. But again, I don't know if it's like the three is good at trickery, but I was like, okay, it'll be good. Change is going to be good. I laugh. My oldest, I don't know what she is on the Enneagram. I keep trying to figure her out. But she doesn't like to feel, she's very emotional, but she doesn't necessarily take time to feel things fully.
Okay.
And so, like I told her we were moving. She's like, great. I hated this house anyways. Well, that's not true. She loved that house. Right. But she didn't want to like be sad about it. So like, I didn't want that anyways. Like that's her way of like, but then yeah, my youngest like literally sobbed and was like, I'm going to miss this room. I'm going to miss that tree. I'm going to miss these neighbors. Like, and then like she like, but the next day she'd like come around to it. But it was like reframing of like, change is exciting and change can be an adventure and change. Yes, it can be hard and sad and all those things, but there's also an unknown that could be exciting. And so we moved into another house that is very different from where we were. And none of us really like it. And none of us really like the, you know, where we are, but it's like, okay, this is temporary. Like we know it's temporary. It's too much money for what you're getting and all that kind of thing. So here we are standing back in the temporary mode.
How is it this time around?
So this time around, it's a little bit tricky. At least the walls are all neutral. So I did not have to paint.
Okay.
And then my husband has only allowed me to hang some things. Okay. That's another thing. Hang stuff on your walls. Even if you like can't put nails in the wall, like use those command strips or those command hooks, like at least. So like my office in here, I've hung stuff in here, but my husband was like, I am not fixing all those holes that I had to fix.
Yeah.
So this house, it had a lot of good bones that we didn't have to change a lot. Like our furniture just kind of like is all you really needed to make it look like you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been good. We haven't had to do a lot, but it still is that temporary. And knowing I'm standing here going, this summer, we're going to have to move again.
Really? Like, okay.
Yes. And that's frustrating because moving is the worst. It is the worst. But it'll be okay. It's going to be something new, a new adventure. Like, see how I'm reframing it for myself. This will be great. Right. Right.
Are you moving to a new house? Or are you, what's your plan?
Yes. We're going to stay where we, like, same area, just somewhere new, somewhere different. It's unknown, Emily. I don't know where we're going to be.
Okay. Wow. Well, I appreciate your perspective and your reframing.
Yes. Well, I just think, you know, when it comes to our home, I feel like it's easy for us to always be wanting more or wanting something different rather than being happy with what we have and trying to find the good in what we have. And I think that was the difference. I felt like that farmhouse was going to fulfill what a home is supposed to be. And it did in a lot of ways. But so did this little home that, you know, we moved to. And so did that apartment that Scott and I first rented when we were first married, because that's where we became us. And so was the townhome that we lived in when Sinclair was born, because that's where she came home to. Like, I think if we can stop and really reimagine what home is and how we define home and what that really looks like, then we can find some contentment where we are versus always wanting what's next. Because, oh, well, if only we had another bedroom, that's what we need. And so I'm not going to be happy where I am because I don't have all the things that I need right now. And rather than kind of just reframing that and going, okay, this is where I am. How can this be home to me? What does home mean to me? So how can this be my home?
Mm-hmm. Even though like we own our home because I can rip things out and redo them, I feel like we should, and it needs to be new and it needs to be updated. And the fact that it's not, then I don't like my home. How many people would love to have a home that they own? Well, I have a home that I own and I and I'm not happy with it. It's just ridiculous.
Right. Well, and I think that's where you like check your expectations. Like, why do I feel like I need to constantly be changing it? Like, why am I not satisfied with it? And then if the answer is not a great answer, then it's like, let me rework that perspective. But then it's like, if it's a good answer, then it's like, okay, well, how can I help bring my personality into this home? Or what little thing can I do that would help this home reflect who we are as a family better?
It's also interesting because I think when I think of home, I think of clean and everything's in order. But when like my 80-year-old self, I want to look back on what my home was like, it was so full of life and fun and people. And those are not like what I want today and what I want to have lived are not the same regarding home.
I don't even know how to manage that tension well, because I think some of it has to do with our personalities and hoping that you're going to be somebody that you actually aren't. I don't know. Like I look at my mom's, like the home that I grew up in, and I love that home. And it's over 100-year-old home. But like the way she has it decorated, there's like this character to it. There's not this like major like order to things. Whereas like you look at my home, everything has a place. This is where it all goes. And I want clean. I'm like you. Like I want it like everything is placed, clean, neat, order, clean lines, all the things. And I'm like, it doesn't have the same feel as what my mom's has. But I am a completely different person than my mom.
Yeah.
And so I keep wondering, is it more to do with our personalities and accepting who we are and ultimately what our home is reflecting versus wanting ourselves to be someone different? I don't know. Maybe I just went really deep.
No, I mean, it's true. No, it did. I don't know. It's a lot. And I want to just calm down and enjoy, but also very practically, someone's got to do the laundry.
Right. Well, and maybe some of it has to do with our life stages. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if kids are already chaotic in and of their existence, like the way they breathe is chaotic. So then you add that into your home. Like, you're like, listen, I can deal with one chaos. So obviously you, dear child, are not changing. Like, you're going to be chaotic. I can at least need this laundry put away and less crazy.
Yeah, just a little. Let's take it down a couple notches of crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So we're all busy. I don't like it. You don't like it. Try as we may, we still end up being a little busier than we'd like. But that does not mean we have to stop learning and improving. There's an app that I highly recommend for busy people like us, and it's called Blinkist. So Blinkist is the only app that takes the best takeaways and everything you need to know from thousands of nonfiction books, and it condenses them down into 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. It could not be easier. With their audio feature, they make it easy to finish like 4 books a day while you're on the go. There are 8 million people using Blinkist right now, has a massive growing library. I use Blinkist when I am washing dishes because I don't have time to listen to a whole podcast, but I have time to read a whole book. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for Struggle Well Project listeners. Go to Blinkist.com/SWP to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/SWP to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/SWP. So I want to talk now. We're almost out of time, but you are a podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
You
I am.
Have a podcast called Surviving Sarah. We talked about that. Someone said that you were not good at writing and speaking, and I don't like that because you are. And so I want to know, like, obviously you didn't take that and run with it or you would not be doing what you're doing. So what did you do to overcome kind of that negative thing that somebody said that you don't agree with? And I don't think it's true either.
Right. You know, they said that to me at such a critical point in my life. I think I was about 29 years old when that was said. You know, I was a published author at that point and I was accomplished all these things. I was traveling and speaking. And then someone was like, well, you're not really what we want. We're going to go in a different direction. And just being, I think, that age, like, and I was, newly married and was going to have a baby in the next year. Like, something about all of that combination, it truly crushed me. Like, I stopped writing. I stopped speaking. I allowed who I thought was an expert in that field to speak that over me and allow that self-doubt to just, I believed that rather than believing, well, just if you don't resonate with that person, it doesn't negate the value that you have already.
Yeah.
And so it took me a few years of really coming back to that point that you have value and you are valuable apart from anything that anyone else says mm-hmm. and apart from what you can do. So even if you never did anything else, you still are valuable. And so, which knowing that I'm a three, that's speaking very much into an Enneagram three language. And so for me, it's that constantly, where am I getting my worth from? And so that's what helps. Like it was one of those, once I got to that point, I was like, okay, now I can walk into a room and I'm okay. Like if Emily Thomas does not think that I am great at this, it'll be okay. Like, and it's still hard. Like I still struggle with like, I think everybody should like me. And I think everybody should think, oh, what you're offering is so great. I love that. But it's coming around and going, I am enough in and of myself because I'm created by God in his image. And that's, let's start there. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes more the driving force for me rather than when you face rejection, when you face that failure, all of that kind of stuff, it has the power to just really derail you, or you can use that and go, it's okay. Like they don't have the power to shut me down.
Yeah.
And so that's really what I've learned. And so now, you know, it took me 13 years to like really want to write again, all those things, but it was just that process of coming through and going, okay, you're enough. And what you have to offer is valuable.
Yeah.
And you can bring value to other people's lives, even if these people maybe said it wasn't valuable for them.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It doesn't negate that value that you already have.
Yeah. We are not everybody's cup of tea.
Yes.
And it's funny because I know that I don't resonate with what everybody else does. But if somebody doesn't resonate with what I do, I'm like, yes, how is that even possible?
Right.
Because
right,
I totally resonate with what I do.
Right. But it's like, I think about it. I've been thinking even this morning, I was journaling about how easy it is for me to judge myself. And now I would never judge someone else that way. But at the core of it, there's probably a connection. Like if I'm going to judge myself and think, well, if you weigh more than this weight, then you aren't even a good podcaster. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, funny.
I can connect. Yeah. I can connect how much I weigh to whether or not I'm a good podcaster.
Isn't that interesting?
That's straight craziness. But if I'm going to judge myself so harshly, like, is there something deep down in me that judges other people? Like I've got to start accepting myself. And then therefore I can truly accept other people. I feel like all that kind of stuff is connected.
Well, and that if somebody else isn't a big fan of whatever we're doing, if we've accepted ourselves, it doesn't rock our entire world
yes.
when they don't. Like,
exactly.
Like us.
Whereas like, I feel like when I was 29, my entire worth was tethered to that expert's opinion rather than tethering it to something that doesn't change. And so that's the difference, is if we can start our day going, we are valuable and we are worthy and we are enough and we have the right to belong places and can contribute places. And it's all based on our createdness and our created being. That's what it's tethered to. It's not tethered to whether or not so-and-so likes me or likes what I have to offer. It'll be okay. And that's a lot of coaching. Like I still have to self-coach myself through that all the time. Like meeting with someone, you're like, it's okay if they don't like your idea. It'll be okay. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. You know, I just listened to Oprah's Masterclass. Have you listened to that podcast?
I haven't. Yeah. Is it so good?
Okay. I'm loving it. And I listened to Tim McGraw, which I don't even listen to country music, but I was like, well, okay, I'll listen to this episode. And he spoke so much into that. Like he talked about recording a song. Like I think this was maybe when he was first signed. So in early days, and the producer that he was working with set him down and was like, I think you need to, if you want to work in music, you're going to have to find something other than singing to do.
Oh,
right. And he was like, but I was like, I just love singing. I couldn't imagine not actually doing the musical part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pushed through. And I think that's where we have to go. Other people can bring a lot of self-doubt to what you do, mm-hmm. but you also have to bring a lot of belief on your own part to what you're doing.
And sometimes the people coming against you help you go, no, actually, like, this is what I want to do. Or you're right, that isn't, but maybe I could shift a little. So there's some value in the people not liking you.
Exactly. Oh, yes. I need to tell myself that there's value in people not liking you.
Because sometimes sometimes they're right. Like that you aren't in your lane.
Totally.
But sometimes it just kind of helps reinforce that you're not my person, but I am in my lane.
Yes. And I think that coming from someone who is a safe person, like if you're going to hear, I can handle that a whole lot better if my mentor says something like that to me versus some random person
yeah.
who they don't know you and they don't, they haven't earned a right to speak that into your life.
Yeah. So tell me about your show. Well, I already know about it, but tell all the listeners about your show and what kind of stuff they get when they tune in.
Yes. Well, I like to be a cheerleader. I think goes back to my like high school days when I was a cheerleader for a year.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
You know,
did
so they'll
know
get cartwheels and herkies listening to my show. Just kidding. No, I want to be a cheerleader for others and the show be a megaphone for people's stories and to be a place where they're getting to hear that, gosh, I am not the only crazy one.
Mm.
And I am not alone in this. And, you know, I called it Surviving Sarah because I feel like that's what I'm doing. I am surviving myself every day. Right. And there's things about life that I'm like, I'm surviving. And I think that's an okay thing. And I want to survive it well. I'm not always thriving and that's okay, but we can be the best versions of ourselves. And that's really what this show, I feel like it helps me be the best version of me. And so I want that to be shared for other people to hear. And so that's really what the show is. They get to hear stories of just other survival skills and people surviving and knowing, figuring out how to do it well. And hopefully they'll be encouraged and entertained along the way.
I love it. Okay. So now I want to do a lightning round. I have 5 questions for you.
Okay. I'm sweating.
You can totally do this.
Okay.
Number one, what used to be considered trashy, but now it's considered classy?
Oh my goodness. Trashy versus classy. Well, and this is probably controversial. Cold shoulder shirts. I feel like at some point that would have been considered trashy. And now people think it's classy, but my personal opinion is that it's still trashy.
Me too.
But I feel like that is all this. I'm like, when did this become a thing that it was okay?
I think that's a really solid choice. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
That was like first thing off the top of my head.
I love these questions because I would not have thought of that. I like it. If you were arrested with no explanation, what would your friends and family assume you got arrested for?
I think that they would assume that I like pushed someone like into a pool. Like I was walking by them.
Because you were mad or what?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was like, you're dumb. And I just pushed them in a pool.
Wow.
I really want to push someone in a pool. That's like, I think that needs to be a goal for 2019.
It seems like it.
Right.
I'd start with your kids because, I mean.
Right.
If they you can swim.
Right. Right. I mean, I don't want anyone to drown.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not morbid. But like, I think. It used to be I wanted to like, I still do, but this doesn't, I wouldn't get arrested for this, but I just want to like throw over a table.
Oh,
like
wow.
I just want to be like, oh my gosh. And like, I just want
so to over this.
So over it and like throw over the table. And so, but lately I've been like, I just would like to push that person in the pool.
Like fully clothed, like with their yeah. phone and their purse and
yeah,
all that.
And just be like, I don't like what you're saying. And I'm going to push you in the pool.
Well, there you go. Again, never would have expected
right.
that answer.
Right.
Love it. Okay.
Someone would press charges for that.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, what's the most embarrassing thing that you have ever worn?
Gosh. The first thing that comes to mind is when I was a sophomore in college, I wore head-to-toe leopard print, like spaghetti strap, tight dress. And that was, like, I still cannot wear leopard. Like, I have little leopard sneakers, and that's as much leopard as I can do.
Okay.
That's it. I overdid it. So I'm still very embarrassed that I wore that.
But at the time.
At the time, leopard was in. And I had like leopard pillows. And like I just went too far. Okay. It was just too far.
Okay.
And I think I bought it from that. There's still a store called Wet Seal.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that still in existence in
mm-hmm.
malls mm-hmm. across America?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And that's where it came from. And it was just, it looked like undergarments. Like it should have been like a slip.
Okay.
I burned pictures. They don't exist anymore.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What part of a movie has completely scarred you forever? Can I tell you mine while you think?
Yes. Yes.
The Shining, those two twin girls on the tricycles. I can't even stand in a hallway of a hotel and not think of them.
That is a good one. I don't even watch scary things. And I did watch that one. And I do think about that all the time. Gosh, I don't know the answer to that one. I just don't watch things that are scarring.
Okay.
I just can't. Like, I just don't want to be scarred for
be
life.
Scarred,
now,
yeah.
Now, a movie that has shaped my entire being.
Sure, let's make it positive.
Yeah. Is this like the fundamental differences of you and I? I don't know. What About Bob? Have you seen What About Bob with Bill Murray? Which my dog is named after Bill Murray. That's his namesake.
Okay. Yes. No, I mean, I'm sure I saw it, but what? I don't remember it.
So he's like crazy in his head and he's like needs therapy. And so he's like, he starts his day every day and he's like, I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful. I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful. Good. And then he goes to see like a therapist and the therapist saw like, you need to take baby steps. Like, and he's like, a baby step into the door, baby step into the elevator, baby step. Like everything is like my entire world, I feel like is that like, he goes to like find the therapist tries to leave town and Bob is like, you can't go. Like he goes to find him and he's like wearing a shirt that says, don't hassle me. I'm local. And I don't even fully know what that means, but I'm like, that's how I feel is like, don't hassle me. I'm local. Like everything in my world, the advice from the therapist is you need to take a vacation from your problems. And I say that all the time. I look at my kids and I'm like, I need to take a vacation from my problems. And I'm looking at him right now.
Just
right?
Yeah.
Right. And so What About Bob has maybe not like guard me for life, but maybe it has. Maybe that's been my problem is that I've been looking at life through the lens of Bob all these years.
So funny. I love that. Okay. So finally, what can you not stop talking about?
What can I not stop talking about? Most people that follow along with me know I talk about coffee all the time. And so more specifically, I talk about Lion Coffee. It's from Hawaii and it's my favorite coffee and I just love it. I order it straight from Hawaii, like from the island, the big island arrives my coffee.
How did you discover it being in Hawaii?
No, when we in our little small town in Tennessee where we lived, where our farmhouse was, there was a coffee shop, like a little deli that sold it. I'm like, of all the places, like how random is that? Small town, Tennessee. And that's where we found it. And now we're just like, we just love it. We're obsessed. And so I literally order it online from Hawaii.
Do they have different roasts or do you just buy the
one? They
do. Okay. What do you,
no.
My what's favorite your Lion is the, roast?
Is the original, okay. The original, but they have like flavored, they have all sorts of things. So I feel like that's kind of the on brand answered for that. Okay. But I also talk nonstop about Brené Brown. So that's
She's
another thing.
Great.
Yeah. I read her every day right now, like rereading, like trying to goes back to all the things we talked about, working on ourselves of like being your okay to be your authentic you. So I feel like I talk about her all the time too.
That's good. Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you. It's been fun to talk to your face for a while. We talk on the phone a lot. I mean,
we do.
What are you not? Not on
I mean,
the
like
phone.
An app.
Yeah,
right.
We talk on an
We're
app.
We're not ancient, like calling each
oh
other.
Gosh.
Like who are we? We're not that
We're
kind
not
of person.
Barn animals.
Right.
No. That even means we
are
vintage.
We use cool apps. We use cool apps to talk to each other.
We're so young and hip. I told you were going to like it. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Sarah said this week? This does not have to do with Sarah, but I would love for you to email hello@strugglewellproject.com and tell me your very favorite parts of the show, because I think that we have an opportunity to create something that is going to best serve you and be something that I can fit into my new situation. I mean, y'all, I am going to have such an opportunity to struggle well when going back to full-time nursing is not exactly my most excited thing I would ever hope to do, but I'm going to get to struggle well. So let's figure out a way for me to struggle well and you to still be served. So give me an email. So Sarah talked about the changes that she made in her rental home that were the biggest deals to her so that she could kind of settle in there and love how it looked. So they painted and changed the fixtures. Is there one thing that wouldn't cost that much that you could do to spruce up your place? Maybe you do that this week. Maybe you lost a friend. They just didn't want to be your friend anymore. That happened to me probably about 7 years ago. And I tried to ask, what have I done? Could I do something different? And yeah, they just weren't interested. Like that book says, they're just not that into you. Sometimes that happens and that's fine, but it doesn't feel good. And so maybe this week you just be honest with yourself about how a rejection that has happened just kind of feels pretty junk. Maybe you sit with God and just say, Lord, would you help me? Tell me who I am because I'm a little shaky on some of this stuff. We can't let other people, their opinions of us, if they like us or not. Those things aren't true or really that important, but we forget that sometimes. Maybe you are living as an entrepreneur's wife, or maybe your husband is not starting businesses that freak you out, but maybe he has dreams and you could struggle well by finding the ways to strongly support him, even if it's little stuff. Maybe you don't fully love the idea of some of the big stuff, but what small thing could you tell him, listen, you are killing it in this area. Way to go, dude. They can seem all big and strong and independent and like that doesn't matter to them, but they need our support. And so maybe this week you struggle well by doing what Sarah said and just putting aside what you would love to do for the good of that man you married. All right, ladies, go ahead and share this episode if you know of somebody who would benefit from it. Thank you to all of you who share on Instagram and Facebook these episodes. I really appreciate it. And I see every single one. Make sure you are subscribed to the show. Next week is a Struggling Sisters. We are going to be talking about our homes and how to make them sanctuaries. And don't forget to join me on Instagram at Struggle Well Project. It's my favorite place to be on the internet. And ladies, remember, perfection is nonsense. It's not even impossible. Peace is a perspective shift away. You can stop striving because you're already enough. Let me pray for us. Lord, you said that in this world we will have trouble, and I don't like it. I would sure rather not. And honestly, when trouble comes, I feel surprised, but there's no reason to be surprised. You told us it was coming. But your next words, those are the words I forget. I always remember the, in this world you have trouble, but you said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Lord, in the middle of our trouble, it's really hard to remember to take heart. And that ultimately, if we're walking with you, we are on the winning side. It's pretty great. So Lord, the trouble that I have in my own life right now, in my own heart, and the trouble of the sweet one who is listening to this right now, thank you, Lord, that you care a lot about those troubles. They're not too tiny for you, and you haven't forgotten us. So I pray that you would help us stay really focused on you, so that we can wait well in these waiting seasons that we all find ourselves in. In Jesus' name, amen.